Hi, I'm Brad Hickey, founder and CEO of Starmount Capital. I'm excited to be here today with you to talk about the role of a challenger on an investment committee, which was a newly formed role that we created at Starmount Capital. Here with me today is one of my partners, Chris Calabrese. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Brett.
So a little bit of context on Chris. One of the things I've tried to do and we have at Starmount is to assemble a team of highly experienced people that have learned lessons, sometimes the easy way, sometimes the hard way in life, to make sure that we can focus on optimizing value for our investors. With that, Chris is one of the most thoughtful and experienced investors in U.S. lower middle market private credit that I've met and have been delighted to bring on as a partner, having invested in U.S. private credit now for over 35 years. Chris built up a private asset management firm, LBC, along with partners of his, which they eventually sold to CIFC, being a lower middle market private lender. Chris, today, the first thing we'd love to pick your brain on is, what are some of the lessons learned as you think about challenges investors make when looking at private loans? What are some of the key tenets you focus on for capital protection?
Well, I think it starts with origination and selection. And so you need to have a decent amount of flow so that you don't have adverse selection. And then once you have the flow, then evaluating those in a disciplined manner and sticking to that disciplined manner. And then, you know, there's certain facets that I think are in common in private credit that we want to try to analyze. And, you know, one of them is, what does the business do and what are those drivers of enterprise value? And how do we really determine if this company will continue to either grow or generate cash flow through different cycles? And I think the other one is your partners. Who are you getting involved with, from the management team to the ownership team to any other lenders that might be in the group?
And Chris, as you think about some of the core attributes, a lot of people look at a measurement of loan to value, which of course matters in enterprise value. But as you and I know, companies don't go bankrupt generally because their loan to value is underwater. It's because they don't have enough, as you say, cash flow to service all of their obligations, whether it's payroll, taxes, interest, principal. It comes down to cash flow. So when you think about that over a year, nearly four decades of lending to businesses, what are some of the key things that you really quickly look at, and perhaps other investors you think to share might discount the value of when you're really looking at trying to figure out, is this going to be a durable business across cycles?
Well, when we really dive into the profitability of the business, and so if you start with the EBITDA, how much of this is really cash EBITDA? What kind of adjustments are in there? And so what can you really rely on from that operating profit that becomes, it's calculated into EBITDA, as true cash flow that can delever your business? And then, you know, sensitizing this for macroeconomic events and then other kind of one-time microeconomic events that affect these businesses. And, you know, many times businesses can absorb body blows if there's a reason for them to exist. And we have to get down to what is that reason for them to exist. And if we go through a period of time where cash flow is lower and we try to adjust expenses, and then it always comes down to how much cash is needed to get out to the other side. And should we make that investment? And many times, Brett, we'll find good businesses, but it might just take so long to try to recover that it's not worth another investment. And you have to make these as independent economic decisions from when you first get into the deal throughout the life of the deal, always evaluating it on that basis.
That's great. That's helpful. Let's switch gears now away from the type of businesses and let's dig into another element of risk, which is organizational design. To quote and honor the late Charlie Munger and Warren Buffett, to paraphrase, they like to talk about, tell me how somebody's economically motivated and I'll tell you how they'll behave. And as we look back to 2008, 2009, as to how a lot of organizations were designed and how loans were getting put in the books for real estate and people getting paid bonuses for that loan origination, perhaps irrespective of how that loan actually performed. Talk to us a little bit about what you look at and what you think is important from an organizational design to have that investor principal protection mentality as people look at investment firms. And as you know, there's a really wide arrangement of how firms are set up. What do you think is important?
Well, I think it starts with the investor. I mean, who are we working for? We're working for the investor. And so that's always top of mind. And what did we say to the investor? What did we say that we are attempting to deliver? And let's stay in line with what we said we're attempting to deliver. And if you take that approach, I think that's going to be very helpful as you build an organization. Then you can go into, you know, the people relationships that they have, the experience that they bring. And then to mix all that up into, you know, an investment committee, if you kind of just take that one function of making decisions and getting to the decision in a timely manner, but also having everyone's voices heard and doing it in a constructive and productive way. And that's a challenge. That's not always an easy thing to do. You know, it might sound like, yeah, that's sure, everybody wants to do that, but actually organizing it in that manner and effectuating it in that way is very challenging.
That's great. No, it makes sense. I've been part of committees where the loudest voice is the one that really carries it, and that may not be the best voice. And you want to encourage robust debate where everybody's aligned, not discourage people from being worried to bring up a concern or and so forth. And we'll get into that within your role of the challenger right in a second here. And one other element that I've found valuable, not easy for all organizations to do. Thankfully, at Star Mountain, being 100% employee-owned, we're able to have a really deep level of alignment, as you say, with our investors, with our own capital, sharing in the carried interest with 100% of our U.S. employees. And then on top of that, one organizational design that we decided is that we're not going to pay an origination team based on the volume of loans that they get put on the books. They're going to be compensated for the performance of those investments during their life cycle and their end exit in alignment with our investors versus a lot of firms modeled off of some banks where somebody originates the loan in, they get paid a bonus based on their origination volume, then there's the underwriting team, and then if there's a challenge, the workout team. And I think one of the things that, you know, we found, and this is my 21st year now of doing lower middle market private loans, and I would say people that really understand and work with businesses during their entire life cycle are more nimble, more able to add value to companies, and more able to work through challenges. And at the beginning, they're less focused on tucking a risk in a footnote and more focused on highlighting it in the middle of the page so that they can talk to their partners. If you have that right investment committee culture, as you referenced about, here's some concerns I have, here's how I think that we can work through them if they happen. But as you and I know, everything is easy on paper, but actually working through those challenges, you need very experienced people with a lot of alignment. And so I think that organizational design where people are economically aligned for investments to perform, not just investments to get closed, is a really important one. Let's talk now to the role of a challenger, Chris, that you play within our investment committee. Tell us a little bit more about what is the challenger and what are you doing in that role, please?
Well, our job is to make investments, and our job is to make sound investments. And you never know if you made a sound investment until you get repaid. And so what can happen throughout the life of that investment, of that loan? And so I think the role of a challenger is someone who says, well, what if this happens, or we pull this lever down over here? How does that affect things? What about if we do a deep dive into these customers and see who the customer of our borrower is selling to? And then even further down, and we're doing a lot of that in our underwritings now and our portfolio management. And that's the end market analysis. And then looking at why, just sometimes it's simpler questions. Hey, this company's had a real high growth spurt over the last 2 years. And this is founder owned, and he's owned the business for 25 years. Now, what does that owner know about this business or the macroeconomic conditions or its relevancy in the future that we might not know now? Now, there's a lot of reasons for all of these things, but these are just some of the questions that we poke through and ask in this challenger role. And not to put the presenter on defense, but to really open up the conversation, and so that we're going into this with our eyes open and saying, yes, it is likely that these things could occur. So perhaps we need to provide some more mitigation over here. You're never going to 100% eliminate the risk. But if you isolate all of the different factors that go into the multitude of things that can go wrong, and you say, hey, let's make sure that we are at least aware of this, and here's some of the protections that we have, and this is what we're going to also watch out for in portfolio management, because now we're aware of it. So let's continue to mitigate this, and let's continue to manage this risk through the portfolio management life cycle of the deal to an eventual exit.
That's great. Well, we certainly appreciate the role on behalf of our team at Star Mountain. I think we've found it very valuable where, Chris starting as a personal investor, senior advisor, and then to becoming a full-time challenger with us on the investment committee. In addition to our investment committee, where we have a two-layer process where some of our team are active and doing investments that are in market, some are not, to ensure that we're having that second layer view, and then adding on top of that the challenger, where it almost gamifies things in the sense to say, all right, humor me. What if these things did go wrong? Let's not, maybe it's a low probability, but let's go down the path of focusing on what if these challenges occur. And of course, we've always had risks and mitigants as part of standard underwriting, but I found the role that you've played, Chris, as a challenger with this, incredibly helpful, and thankful to the rest of our team that look at it and say, hey, it's nothing against me personally. This is Chris's role here. He's playing the role of the challenger. He's talking about what are all the different reasons that things can go wrong, so that we're really focused on deeply stress testing them, not combining the risks and mitigants. And I think it's a really helpful role. And we learned about this from one of our consultants that talked about this role, and happy that we've implemented it, and hopefully it can be helpful for other people. Chris, thank you for joining us today and for playing the role of a challenger and educating others what it is. Any other things that you'd like to leave us with in parting as other challengers think about playing this role?
No, I think selecting when you're going to and what you're going to bring up is really important, right? Because we have a certain amount of time to make a decision, right? We can't have these meetings go on for hours and hours. And so really, really trying to identify, okay, what are these items that I want to bring up in this certain situation because of these factors, and try to do it in a time condensed manner. That's somewhat challenging for the challenger.
Well said, Chris. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate it and hope everybody found that to be helpful.
Thanks, Brett.